I greet the saints of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Job 18:4. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. Let's talk about violated sanctums. A sanctum, the word sanctum, comes from the Latin. It's a noun. It's described as a consecrated place. I was given a word. Despite the usual rejection that comes of laying out any truth, this word has come to the forefront of our very lives today. And as time has passed, I have come to understand and fear the power of God even more. And I suppose that's a good thing. Allow me to lay this out. We as a nation and a people have consecrated, compartmentalized units of the worldly system which was put in place, and we have thrived until recently. These consecrated places were pieces of the system that kept us prosperous and healthy, and holding on to a promise of upward mobility and relaxation after our work in the system was done, granting us freedom to move about, to chase our own dreams, to amass our own personal wealth, give us control of our lives at every level. Specifically, to give examples of these sanctums, these consecrated places, they would be represented as our secure and good-paying jobs, our abundant goods, wholesome food, diverse and abundant amusements, an unbiased legal system, affordable health care and maintenance, banks, government programs to augment the incomes of those less fortunate. So need I go on? These are the consecrated places, the sanctums that were referred to me when I received the word from Father. He told me to watch what would happen as his decree began to be manifested over the last few years, and I've shared it with you as the time has passed. And I have been as initially shaken by the manifestations as many of you have, but not to despair or fear. Let's face it, today the landscape has changed dramatically. Now we have come to the results and the proof of God's word is true. Now let me state definitively that even the true followers of Jesus Christ over the years have been privileged to reap benefits from these consecrated places, the system, of course. But I tell you that these sanctums had been established by man through the will of God, that they all be consecrated as more holy and precious to the nation than God himself, which in plain speech means that these holy places, these things we have taken for granted and prospered by, had become raised up as idols before God. They are of the world. God allowed his saints to take sustenance from Babylon and Egypt. But God had always warned that his people not place their faith or hope in them. Remember chariots, horses, and strong arms? It was, and it is, a fine line which we have crossed many times in the past, relying on our strength. Scripture states his strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. Today, these financial and social units, these sanctums which we have made holy and consecrated as our worldly refuges, are split open, gored, and present no hope of security or prosperity any longer. The sanctums are violated. The days of judgment are upon us, and those of the world, and especially our prosperity-believing brethren, are beginning to experience an I-told-you-so from the Lord our God. There are no places in which to find refuge, help, or even sustenance. You know, soup kitchens and dollar stores provide little in the way of the safety nets that we had become accustomed to. They provide little consolation to our memories of the good old days when we all had control and the means to control. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation, says the Lord. God has sent his sword to split open our sanctums, and he has done as he said he would. This sword, it is drawn and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. Job 20:25. These terrors today, these violated sanctums, are causing us much physical distress as well as material and emotional. And I believe that the deed is surely done. This nation suffers worse than at any time in the past. And as our influence had spread across the globe and our prominence had become a standard to which the world attained, now our influence wanes. And we are cursed with rising poverty and the plagues brought upon us because of our pride and lust for power and goods. This sword which God has thrust into our holy places has gone in and come out. Now the false hopes, which we had always taken for granted as being unchanging, guaranteed us, have bled out onto the ground. The strong walls of our sanctums are breached, exposed, and have become useless. A memory of the good old days which we enjoyed over all the other inhabitants of the earth. A testament to pride, greed, excess, and idolatry, and their consequences. Yes, the arrows of the Almighty are within us, the poison whereof drinketh up our spirits. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against us. We are now beset with sorrows and the sore manifestation of chaos, which has been delivered to us from the storehouse of God's wrath. It's beginning to manifest itself vividly. The poison of delusion, augmented by our base sinful pride, is spreading through this worldly loaf and the church, my brethren. Harden yourselves to it. Those who have sought out the God of their refuge and salvation are now beginning to hear the actual sounds of chaos, seeing it. Some of you have been in our recently gutted cities, especially up there in the Rust Belt along the Great Lakes. It's a pretty sad sight, and scary too. And we're witnessing the birth of indignation and wrath. And this comes into our physical world screaming, and its screams will only become louder, and we are surrounded. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. Isaiah 10:33. The branches are being cut off. And it's not just the upper elite, the rulers, that are feeling the pain. Our middle class, which has been insulated and most privileged to reap the prosperity of the last 100 years, is withering. Our middle class had neither poverty nor great riches, but has always been able to afford many creature comforts, pay their own way. This had put them to sleep. They had vainly trusted in the status quo. They have covered their haughtiness with a thick veneer of righteousness, affordable idealism, plastic morality, and the like. Now that the old sanctums afford them no quarter from the emptying and the crushing going on, panic has set in. The onset of despair is beginning to wrinkle and chip away at their facades, and soon their real natures will burst forth, and the social carnage will be epic by proportion. And we don't need a doctorate in sociology or anthropology to see this coming. I wonder if their haughtiness will give way to being humbled in a godly way, or does this humbling bring forth the curses from their mouths? I suppose that we shall see. The inventors of evil are now playing happily with their toys, wreaking havoc upon the world with every new advancement in science and medicine. But should this not be the case, knowing the Word of God for these days? And where should our trust be, brethren? Will we curse God when the last vestiges of these sanctums disappear in our rearview mirrors, as they already are? Will we turn to religious means such as Benny, Christian witchcraft, or oils and incantations? Will we degrade into Dark Age superstitions and follow some necromancer in the pulpit? Do you think that this road will not be traveled in the near future? You better think again. The possibilities are limitless when we begin to panic and lose our faith, and they're even more limitless when people without faith begin to panic. Where will our trust be then, brethren? And will it be too late? Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Job 33:7. The testing and the trying of the saints continues unabated. Many of us grapple with our feelings and emotions when confronted by so much negative reality and dead-end rabbit trails these days. What we have studied and believed is now manifest and hits us on an emotional level. There's where it's dealt with immediately and not allowed to spread into unbelief and despair. That's where we swing our sword, saints, when it begins to bug us. It's an attack. Treat it as one. We have been prepared in our faith for what is coming upon us, so look it straight on and remember who you are in Jesus Christ. God's elect are standing through this trial and suffering, and the world is buckling and in fear for itself. Remember that. Be prudent, saints. Be silent. I believe the reality of Matthew 16:25 is coming to bear upon the saints. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I firmly believe that those of us in the house of God who seek after the sanctums and their professions of faith, that we might live in prosperity and relative safety, shall lose their everlasting souls. I believe that those who have forsaken the world and its pleasures and promises and followed Jesus Christ are they which will ultimately be saved at the end of their journeys. You can argue all you like with me, but what's my voice in this maelstrom of apostasy anyway today? There's only a few listening. It's still enough for me to do my job. I believe God. He's never told me any falsehoods. And if he wants to deceive me, that's his good pleasure to do so. Yeah, we've got that in Scripture also. But what God has told to me, I have seen manifested, and you have too. You could believe it or not, but it's right there in front of us. Many a scripture is coming alive these days, and the saints must look to the application of the truths of God in all that is happening around them. Remember that Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 16:25. That was a prophecy. Can we see this coming to pass around us? I'd certainly answer in the positive. And I don't ask for any company. That's up to you to decide. God's terrorism will not catch his children, his own children, his elect, in the crossfire, saints. His children aren't going to get caught in this crossfire. God told his prophet Isaiah that in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Isaiah 54:14. God means to keep his word, saints. Some will say that this means that God will physically protect his saints. Obviously, they're correct, but their reasoning is incomplete. I believe that this implies much about the power to stand in the trials and fires of this life and in the times in which we live. We're given that power. And if he wants to take our lives, what better way to go than as Christ? Keep that in mind, saints. Thomas Paine's great words during our revolution were appropriate for the time in which he lived. You know, these are the times that try men's souls. Well, wouldn't the tribulation which accompanies everyone called out to follow Jesus Christ be considered trying times for us sojourners down here? Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation in John 16:33. Well, here it is, saints. And it's growing as each day passes, growing, I believe, into great tribulation, as Jesus said. And what we have been experiencing in earlier years, even now, pales in comparison to the deluge of trouble that has landed upon this nation and the world today. This thing is rolling downhill, and it doesn't have any brakes. We've done war our last pads down. God told the prophet Zephaniah to wait upon God until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. But this hasn't happened yet, and he told Zephaniah to wait. Do we think that Zephaniah would actually live to see the consummation of the world and the destruction of evil? Hardly. Then Zephaniah was obviously passing this on to those of God's spiritual house who would hear his words. God tells his elect to wait upon me. Are we waiting or are we worrying? Are we standing and holding fast or are we running and letting go? That which we all trusted in is taken away. The sanctums are destroyed as all idols will be. It is an evil time. We need encourage ourselves in his word and pass encouragement to each other, saints. This is a gift we bring to each other in encouragement. This is the hope we have, which is in only a few. Watch and pray. This is the measure of courage. Watch and pray. Don't be moved. When we are told to wait, watch, and pray, how in the name of God can we think to shift the balance of power socially, economically, or politically? If the kingdom of God, which is in our hearts, were of this world, then God's servants would fight. Jesus Christ, who is God, told us this in front of his judge, Pilate. I say settle down. Settle into your refuge, which is our God, and deal with hardening yourselves to the reality of judgment. Not yours, but we're living through it. The rapture bus never made it out of the driveway, saints. Many now are slumbering. And many are in a state of shock and dismay. Let God handle our accusers and shield us from the effects of the growing instability and insanity around us. Though we perish from this earth, we shall live. God is no liar, and though God slay us, yet will we trust in him. How much trust in our God do we really have, saints? Ask God what David asked him so long ago. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 57:1. David knew these calamities were coming. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place, literally. What did he ask God for? Mercy. Mercy, because he trusts him. Going to hang out under the shadow of his wings until those calamities which were meant to be overpassed. Recall the words of God through Isaiah, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast," Isaiah 26:20. And be mindful of what Jesus himself told us to do in these trying times. "Watch ye therefore and pray, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man," Luke 21:36. And this passage tells us also that this has a lot to do with our working on our salvation in fear and trembling. Follow that thread. If the Lord has thrown a light on for you, follow that thread. Don't these three scriptures I just gave you have an eerie familiarity with each other? Isaiah 54:16-17, "Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." This is a prophecy about God's saints living and reigning with him. Not today, not oils and incantations and imprecatory prayer. Continuing, "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." It just proves the line before. "And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." There's a prophecy right there that hasn't been fulfilled yet. Jesus hasn't come to rule and reign with his saints who will judge. God says this is the heritage. Heritage. This is what we get. This is what we get once we're welcomed into the kingdom and Jesus comes to reestablish God's order. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Proverbs 14:26. Now that refuge is on this earth, and I don't mean an earthly hole in the ground, or it is also spiritual. So don't forget this. It includes both. If you did not heed the pleas to seek your refuge in God over the past years, as I've been preaching it, please consider it now. We all have open eyes. We could see what's going on down the road. And I'll tell you, one and all, that what I see in the months ahead can only be described as an abyss. And are you ready for the war for your souls to escalate, saints? Well, it already has. Go in peace, and with the confidence of the Lord. Don't get cocky.